Good morning. Today is Friday, September the 23rd. Joining us this morning from College of the Redwoods is not the head honcho. Are you like the medium honcho?
Depends on who you talk to, I think.
Are you a honcho at all?
I've been sort of a honcho. I was chief negotiator for the union for a number of years.
Okay. So. Well, that gets you to the party.
I you could call me, I guess, a junior honcho.
Maybe. Okay, junior honcho.
I don't see
CR.
I like that, though.
And math professor Todd Olson. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Yeah, this is dialogue.
Okay.
This is not like in the lectures at all. You know, where you speak and I'm supposed to absorb and be stunned and amazed and go ooh and ah and genuflect when you leave.
That doesn't happen very often anymore.
Yeah, well, you know, we keep losing the lines. our quote this morning. This is an interesting one. This is the guy that did those cats, you know, the black and white cats. Really popular in the 80s.
Okay, it's coming back to me.
Khalil Gibran, I think is how he pronounced his name. Your pain is the breaking of a shell that encloses your understanding.
I get it.
Yeah. It's got to be a Friday, huh? Oh, so Todd, being a math professor is normally something people have a passion for. Or somehow they made a wrong turn when they were getting their degree. What drew you to math?
I think originally I was drawn to math because people kept telling me I'm good at it. I don't necessarily know. Well, I'm talking about when I was a kid. I don't know that I necessarily agree with that anymore because I've met some problems that are pretty tough. But yeah. I think I'm fascinated with the abstraction. And the abstract ideas.
Is it something that most, if you were going through now, would you end up in math or would you end up in computer science?
Oh, I would end up in writing.
Textbooks?
No.
No?
No. Creative writing.
Oh, really?
I think so. I mean, I think when I was younger that you know, it's funny how I think we get painted. We get almost, you know, our early teachers that we have so much influence on what we become. I really believe that. And being told, you know, you're good at math, you should pursue that. It kind of has a tendency to drive you in that direction.
Sure, positive reinforcement.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And when I was younger, I always really felt like I wasn't very good at writing. But then I met some really wonderful, great CR teachers, English teachers.
Ooh, nice. Smooth.
CR.
Smooth, baby. Okay.
Because I'm a CR alumni.
Okay, double smooth.
Yeah. Also, I'll admit this. I'm a hick from Fortuna. I grew up in Fortuna. Okay. Deep down, it's hard to get over.
You know. But I do sense that there's one weakness in your profile.
Oh no,
back timing. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us, Destination Radio.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Todd Olson, who's a math professor, a wannabe writer, and a guy that wears pink shirts with blue things. Are those flowers? What are those?
Yeah, they are.
Yes, they're flowers.
Oh. Well, you're tough to see on campus, aren't you?
Recognizable.
Good. At least he's realizing he's sinking. Any response, he's in trouble. Todd, for students, potential students, for those who are interested in math, and we'll focus on that rather than on the writing side of things. Are there certain personality types that you look for that say, you know, you might have a skill set here or not? I mean, for me, I couldn't, because I'm not black and white on too many things. Math is black and white. I know I would just get very frustrated, as would you, if I was in one of your classes. What's the right aptitude for somebody who might pursue math?
I would say that the personality type would be being relentless.
Okay, kind of like a detective or an investigator kind of?
Kind of like you don't give up.
Okay.
Because, you know, I've met a lot of people over the years that are quite good at math. And, you know, math, I think about math sort of like learning to play an instrument or something. And really anyone can learn to play an instrument and become quite proficient at it. And some people, you know, that just comes easier for them. I think math is sort of the same way. But I think the people that tend to go furthest in math are the people that really have a lot of grit. They stick with it. And, you know, back when I was in college, you know, we had study groups and we'd sit down and we'd try to solve really hard problems. And, you know, there was a certain thrill that came from figuring out a proof. You know, I think people misunderstand what math really is. You know, math is hypothetical. It's in our minds. You know, people think of arithmetic sometimes as math, or and you solve many important problems and useful problems using math. But to a mathematician, I think math is... It's abstract. It's in your head. It's in your imagination. And so I think really great mathematicians have really great imaginations. And I do think there's a connection between that level of thinking in the abstract, in writing and in math.
So where did the stereotype come from?
Which one?
That math professors are very narrow. Mm. You know, 1 + 1 always equals 2. And I've seen the proof, and you can make it not equal 2.
Right.
Yeah. So where does that one come from?
Yeah, I'm not completely sure where it comes from. I think it comes from like most stereotypes, it comes from a misunderstanding that's perpetuated over and over again.
Not reinforced over and over again.
Well, maybe. I think I
got a smile, guys.
But I, you know, it, the best mathematician, I won't get this quote quite right Einstein once said that you may think you have problems with mathematics, but mine are bigger. And the point is, everybody runs into the problem they can't solve. And there are some problems that just don't have. I'm talking about problems and solutions. I'll give you an example of what I think about in terms of math. This is what fascinates a mathematician. The Klotz conjecture. Do you know what a natural number is?
I know what Klotz is.
Brian, what's a natural?
That's a Danish, the Hungarian Danish find in the Midwest. That's what I got out of that one.
All right, so if you pick any natural number, okay, which is a counting number, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, they go on forever, right?
Right.
Okay. 12. 12 is even. Divided by 2, you get 6. That's even. Divide that by 2, you get 3. That's odd. So then the rule changes to multiply by 3 and add 1. So 3 times 3 is 9, plus 1 is 10, which is even. Divide by 2, you get 5. 5 is odd.
Sounds like a boomerang.
We're getting there.
Yeah.
So 5 is odd.
I started with 4.
No. We're going to get there. It'll get interesting, I think. So 3 times 5 is 15, plus 1 is 16, which is even. Divide by 2 is 8. Divide by 2 is 4. Divide by 2 is...
Dose.
I'm stuck. Wait.
Yeah.
No, I mean, yeah. 2. 2 is even. Divided by 2, you get 1. So notice that sequence of numbers ends with 4, 8, 4, 2, 1. The interesting thing is if you take any natural number, and they're an infinite number, though this is the conjecture. We don't even know if it's true for sure because it's a conjecture. But if you take any of those numbers and follow those rules, if it's even divided by 2, and all you math I'm going to say math geeks because we think of each other. I mean, it's a term of endearment. But if you know, for those math geeks, try any natural number. And I actually wrote a computer program to demonstrate this. Every natural number that's been tried so far ends in this, if you follow these rules, ends in the sequence 8, 4, 2, 1. And that's just deeply fascinating. And it's never been proven. It's never been mathematically proven, which means...
Even with the big monster computer things, you can't keep running it out.
How many natural numbers are there?
Well, I would think it could probably just keep going forever and ever. Huh?
It would have to. Yeah. So we don't have forever. So that's
No, that's another class. That's the, a little philosophy there. Yeah. So what's that called again?
The Collatz conjecture, and it's also called the Hailstone sequence. Yeah, look it up on Wikipedia. It's fascinating. And I think I
hate to tell you, that's not my number one most favorite source for factual information. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Todd Olson, math prof at College of the Redwoods. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redec. Todd, for somebody who has the aptitude, has the interest, has the passion for math, for numbers, if they're not going into the bookkeeping, accounting, and business school, if they're not going into the computer tech stuff and the IT school, but they get a true, pure math degree. What does that give them an opportunity to get into as far as a career other than teaching others who have the same genetic weakness?
Well, first of all, I'd say probably that your pure mathematician would probably be lousy at bookkeeping. So I would myself included in that.
I'll say one has personality. We'll just leave it there.
You know, it was interesting. When I was in college, I was interested in math, obviously, and I studied it. And when I graduated, I had that issue. What will I do with this math degree? And at that point, I think I realized it was different than like an engineering degree, because when you have an engineering degree, you say, I'm an engineer, and you go to an employer and you say, hey, I want to be your engineer, you know. But how do you do that with math? You know, hey, I want to be your mathematician. Teaching, you know, is one of the common careers that mathematicians end up in, I would say. But when I was, you know,
research, I mean, I would think that there would be some.
Oh yeah, for sure, definitely. As a matter of fact, I was listening to, and you know, my memory's not that good actually, but I was listening to some political commentary about a mathematical model that was used in the Republican effort to take over Congress. And I don't know the details of the model, but models in mathematical models are used in all kinds of fields. And so certainly mathematicians can be involved in those types of things.
Statisticians and statistics and things, or is that a kind of a specialty unto itself?
Statistics is something I've been teaching for quite a long time now, and it's become my current passion, really. And statistics, I don't personally consider it a math field at all. Certainly, there's lots of mathematics and math theory in statistics, but statistics is a philosophy unto itself, really.
Because of the interpretation of the
I think it's because you're using real numbers from real data collected from real populations. And mathematics is not really about the real world at all. In the purest sense, mathematics is, like I said, is in your mind. It's in your imagination. And and that's why we have proofs. I mean, if you think about truth in the real world, well, is there? I mean, sometimes you could take a philosophy class on investigating whether there's even any such thing as truth, right? But in math, there is.
Not me, baby.
Well, in math, there is though, because proofs and things like that are based on other proofs and what we call axioms. And so mathematics is axiomatic. And you know, that goes all the way back to the Greeks and Euclid. Euclid really wrote the first math textbook, The Elements, and he established this idea and this is the idea of rigor in math, is that every truth in math is based on a proof and then those proofs are based on axioms, things that we all accept as being true. Well, statistics is a lot messier than that, because most of the things that we're interested in are affected by so many other variables. And sometimes it's impossible to really even know which variables are affecting other variables. And so everything gets tangled together. And part of what we try to do in statistics is untangle that and understand, you know, based on the data that we collect. And so, you know, so they're really, you know, and again, certainly I don't want to give the wrong impression here. I like to describe statistics in this way. The underpinnings of statistics is based in mathematics. And the whole history of statistics, I think, is fascinating. It goes back to, you know, really I think most statisticians consider Ronald Fisher to be the father of statistics. And he lived towards the end of the 19th century. Statistics is a relatively contemporary field, really. And that was the same time when Darwin was coming back from his voyage and writing Origin of the Species and things like that.
Probably before that, it was survival rather than tracking how many people survived.
But anyway, Ronald Fisher was a great mathematician, and he, you know, began to establish or use mathematics to put rigor into statistics. And
so what is probability then? Is that statistical or is that mathematical? Because it certainly is hypothetical.
Well, probability, I think, is something that's been debated over the years by mathematicians in terms of what it actually is. And so this is another area, I think, where Fisher came in, because that was a real question that people had, I think, or you know, is how do we interpret what probability means? For example, you know, I look outside and it's kind of cloudy and I say, you know, there's a 20% chance of rain. Okay. Well, I'm not using any data or statistics in my declaration of probability. Or, you know, I may tell my wife, you know, there's a 50-50 chance I'll be home tonight.
Yeah. Or I'm listening at this moment to you, dear.
So in statistics, we think of probability in terms of relative frequencies. We think of it as what we call actually the frequentist approach. And that's one of the things that's really hard to get your head around, I think, is the idea that when we use probability in statistics, what we're saying is, you know, this percentage of the time we would see this phenomenon or something like that.
That's kind of how Troy at the Weather Service describes, you know, 20%. Okay, if this scenario, this fact set up 100 times, 20 of those times, this will happen. 80% won't happen.
That's the frequentist interpretation of probability. So, yeah.
Okay. KINS, News and Information Time is 8:42. Yeah, I'll see if I can save myself when we come back.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back to talk this morning. Final couple minutes with Todd Olson. Todd, if somebody is interested in math, whether it's math pure or math contaminated, which is kind of what I'm picking up here, can they talk to you? Can they come out to CR? Oh. Can they sit in a class, find out what's going on? If the kids are interested, can they, you know, buy you coffee? Or, I mean, how can they find out more?
Yeah, I think that one of the really wonderful things about College of the Redwoods, and I speak about this both as an alumni of CR and also as a professor out there, is that the faculty, I think, overall are very approachable. I think that any of us would be thrilled. I mean, we like to talk math. You know,
well, probably not the English guys.
Well, you know, I'll tell you a quick story. I had a neighbor who just had asked me to tutor his son in calculus and wanted to pay me, and I wouldn't take any money. You know, I consider myself a math evangelist. You know, I think we all do. We want to share the joy of pursuing math, and again, it's a lot like art. I don't know that people see math always in that way, but it is. It's in your it's in your imagination. It's fascinating to some people, not to everybody, I suppose. But
I would think it has to be in your heart too. You got to have passion for it.
Yeah. Definitely.
Just like whatever anything right. else.
Well, it's difficult. I mean, it's difficult for everyone. And I think that's something that not everybody realizes. The people that are really good at math have also worked really hard at being good at math. That's across the board.
Yeah, it's like the overnight success that some people have. Took them 20 years to get there.
Oh, right.
Exactly. You know, you go, right. Okay. You know, yeah. Or you have a skill set. Oh, it's so natural for you to, okay, I've been doing it for how many years? This is earned. You just don't see the battle scars.
No, I tell my students that all the time. I've been teaching math for over 20 years.
It better start coming to you pretty soon.
I've done the problem before.
Thanks for coming by. Enjoy the weekend.
Oh, thanks.
Join us Monday morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug somebody you love. See you.